You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
And the scripture reading today is in Acts chapter 28, verses 24 through 31. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word, well spake the Holy Ghost by Esaias the prophet unto our fathers, saying, Go unto this people, and say, Hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed. Lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you, that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed, and had great reasoning among themselves. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house, and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God, and teaching those things which concerned the Lord Jesus Christ, with all confidence, no man forbidding him. And Father God, we just ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
Well, it's pretty obvious y'all told people I was coming. Next time we'll try to surprise them. Maybe they'll show up. They are. Remind me of back when I was a younger man, I heard about this young ministerial student that went out to a little country church to speak. And they just really had some storms and some problems. And he got there, and one old farmer showed up. And the young man got up, and he preached, and he preached, and he preached. Like there was 1,000 people there. And after the service, he asked the old farmer, said, How'd I do? And he said, Well, son, he said, I raise a lot of cattle. And he said, When I go out to feed the cattle, he said, I just feed those that show up. He said, Well, but you do feed the ones that show up. He said, Yeah, but I just don't feed them the whole loaf. So, but this morning I'm going to just give you the whole loaf. Yeah. You're here, you're caught here, this is it. It'd be rude to leave. So, I want to talk to you a little bit about some things change and some things don't. And if you, the scripture reading is in Acts chapter 28, and anybody that has probably studied here for any length of time and been involved with this church for any length of time is familiar with the 28th verse where Paul talks about the salvation of God. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and they shall hear it. Now the difference between this verse and in the Gospel of John, when Jesus told the woman at the well, salvation is of the Jews. So we see a tremendous change here. Jesus said salvation is of the Jews. Now Paul says the salvation of God is sent to the Gentiles and they will receive it. And so I want to talk a little bit about some of these things, about what changes and what doesn't change, because we live in a very unique time. Many of us have seen some of the greatest changes in America, or been involved in some of them, even in this world. We now have the World Wide Web. And what is kind of amazing, all of the advances man has made, seldom do you find one that's helped man spiritually. It seems that they've probably taken us a little bit lower. Where once pornography was undercover and in the back alley, now you can just pick it up in your living room on the internet. We've seen a lot of different things happen in just a few short years. In fact, it's kind of interesting. Some things that seem to cease at Acts 28 There's seven books written after that, and I know I'm talking to the choir here, as it were. But in those seven books, Abraham is never mentioned again. Moses is not mentioned again. Isaac is not mentioned again. Jacob is not mentioned again. All of the David is mentioned one time, and Israel is mentioned twice. And in those, it's not dealing with a promise. Paul said he was of the stock of Israel, meaning he was Israelite. They just didn't talk about them anymore. That no longer meant anything because all of those people had to do with the Jewish economy. He said the salvation is sent to the Jews. Something else, from that time on, and in the first of this chapter, chapter 28, remember that Paul laid hands on some people and healed them. That never happens again. There's no more tongues. There's no more miracles. There's no more signs. There's no more wonders. When you go to those next seven books, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Philemon, 1st and 2nd Timothy, and Titus, you do not talk about those things anymore. In fact, right the opposite. Paul leaves people sick. Paul himself asked for God to remove the thorn in his flesh, and that didn't take place. He told Timothy, take a little wine for your stomach's sake and your often infirmities. Evidently, Timothy was a sick man, as it were, in bad health. So that there's no more of those things. Now, let me also say this, that in this process, God didn't change. We live in a time when it almost people would say that Jesus came to apologize for the Father. And I don't see where he makes any changes. In fact, he said, I changeth not. And there's some things that made God mad, and we don't want to discuss that because we're living this on this time of forgiveness, and that there's no consequences, and we can do what we want to do, and be reminded that in that great 8th chapter of Romans, there's no such thing as unconditional forgiveness. He said all of those things, that the love of Christ, which is in, or the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God's love centered around His Son in Calvary. John 3:16. God's love centered around His Son. You mess with God's Son, you'll be outside of God's love. That's not just God loves everybody regardless. This unconditional, we just everybody come in type of thing. We call these changes, by the way, are like dispensations, and that's a Bible word. And it just means what is God dispensating, or what's He dispensing? Now, you're familiar with a dispenser. Even though God didn't change, God changed His program. Look at from Adam to Noah. Look at from Noah to Abraham, from Abraham to Moses, from Moses to Christ, and then to where we are here, salvation to the Jews. There's various and sundry ways that we can look at these things. In the Old Testament, Israel rejected God the Son. God the Father. In the Gospels, Israel rejected God the Son. In the book of Acts, and those books written during the Acts period, Israel rejected God the Holy Spirit. So we have no more court of appeal here. That's why when Paul had gone to that last group, those Jewish leaders in Rome, and for the first time, and it's kind of interesting, but normally everybody that heard Paul preach, you could duck or pucker because they're either going to hug you or they're going to try to hurt you. Paul created problems everywhere he went. Probably one of the most punished people, with the exception maybe of Job in the entire Bible. The things he listed that he went through for Christ is unreal. But here, for the first time, they kind of accepted him with a yawn. And they told him, "We will hear you another time about this." And Paul said, "No. The salvation of God is sent to the Gentiles." Not the gospel. They'd have the gospel. The salvation of God is sent to the Gentiles, and they shall hear it. Now, let's look at this from another point of view. From Adam to Abraham is approximately 2,000 years. That takes up 11 chapters of the book of Genesis. Not much space given to that at all. Because in chapter 12 is the call of Abraham. From Genesis 12 through the Old Testament and through the Gospels and those books written during that time to Acts 28:28 is approximately 2,000 years. Since then to today is approximately 2,000 years. We have just about run the course if we go back and look. But think about this. 39 books in the Old Testament with the exception of 10 chapters, 11 chapters, and 20 books in the New Testament all pertain to one major period, that 2,000 year period in between. 11 chapters on one side, short 7 books on the other side. This Bible is basically a Jewish book. But then what happens? God said the salvation of God is sent unto the Jews. And they will hear. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians, if you would. I think, and the reason I wanted to talk about this, I think as these days continue, it's going to be more important that we be grounded in the book. Steadfast, Paul said, unmovable. Because we're going to see a lot of things if we're not called out of here real quickly. You're beginning to see now all kinds of signs of the times. And I really think this, and we were talking about that, but the only sign, if you could call it a sign, that's given to the Gentiles. And if you want to, you can hold your finger at Ephesians 2 and go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Because we're going to be looking at both of these and then 2 Timothy chapter 4. But in fact, let's before we read in Ephesians, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And notice that he said, "Know this, that in the last days perilous times shall come." And then there's a long list of things that would make 2012 very pertinent. And one of the things that in verse 12 and 13 said, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." In America, yet we've not had to do that. But we've seen things take place in the last months, not decades, months, few years. We've seen things take place that makes this verse very pliable, makes this verse something that could take place very quick. The next verse said, "And evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." So at the end of this time, he said, this know, back in verse 1 and 3, also that in the last days, perilous times come. As the best I can tell, this is the only, what you might call a sign, and it's certainly not a specific sign where you could date it. But we're seeing these things get worse day by day by day. For the first time, you can say that America is a good mission field. We used to be the home of the missionaries and went to the rest of the world, and America's become a mission field. We don't sense it here in Texas and the Bible Belt as much, because we're not. We've all been raised and cut our teeth on the Bible. It's hard to find somebody in Texas, Oklahoma, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana that hadn't heard about Jesus Christ. But I am finding with the group that we work with, I'm finding more and more people who claim to be atheists. I'm talking about 20-year-olds, 25-year-olds, 30-year-olds. I'm finding more people that have never had a Bible in their life. And you and I were raised that we had one in every room. And we might not have been saved at that time, but we were all God conscious. We didn't doubt that there wasn't a God. We may not have trusted Him as our Savior. And people died lost. But they died God conscious. Today, we're seeing religion push Christianity aside. We're seeing that we ought to be tolerant to every religion in the world except Jesus Christ, except Christianity. And we're seeing some vast changes, and they're happening very rapidly. This dispensation will end, like we've seen here, in chapter 3 of 2 Timothy. And it calls our attention in that the last two verses about Scripture. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Like never before, we're going to be called upon to lean on the book, because we may not have the people around us that we've always had to lean on. I want you to think about something. Jesus Christ had a ministry of 3.5 years on this earth. Here's one who multiplied the loaves, fed the thousands, healed the sick, gave sight to the blind, raised the dead, gave hearing to the deaf. He died, he rose again. The Bible says that 500 people saw him at one time. And then we start into what so many people call the church age, and it wasn't. It's just that the Holy Spirit's now coming, and the program is going to be extended. They're still presenting the kingdom message. But I want you to notice something. You know how many people met in the upper room to wait for the Holy Spirit? Anybody remember how many thousand got together? There were 120. After 3.5 years of ministry by Jesus Christ, disciples, and that's followers. These are not apostles. These are just followers of Christ. 120 got together and were praying and waiting for the promise that Christ had given them. 120. We read a lot of books about when the rapture comes and all the car wrecks and the plane wrecks. Let me tell you what. Truth of the matter is, I think by the time that he calls us out here, and I think it's what will happen to us, and not what we read in 1 Thessalonians. I'm going to talk about that in a moment. We'll go. But what we're going to have is that there are going to be so few gone that nobody pay much attention anyway. And I can tell you, if Christ had raptured 120, it wouldn't have bothered Jerusalem or the day of Pentecost. They'd still had a bunch of Jews there going through their religious feast. Now, back then to Ephesians, notice this. Chapter 2 and verse 11. He said, "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ." Now here's our picture. We're Gentiles. That's everybody that's not a Jew. He said, "We were at that time without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel." In other words, we had no claim to the promises of Israel. You can pick up down at the Christian bookstore all the promises, and we sang, "Every promise in the book is mine," but that's not quite right. We've got all these promises, but most of them have nothing to do with us. You will be hearing this one, and we've heard it a lot. "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and then will I hear from heaven, and will heal their land," which in my case, in Linda's case, is about a 40-foot, 50-foot frontage lot that's how many feet deep? That's our land. But we claim that for America. That's not what he's talking about. That's Israel's promise. He said, "We're without the commonwealth and strangers from the covenants," including the new covenant. It's not ours. People are claiming God's new covenant. That's why we don't go through some rituals, because they're tied to a covenant, to the New Testament, as it were. "Strangers from the covenant of promise," now notice this, "having no hope and without God in the world." We are a group of people that were the offscouring of the earth for all of this time, starting at Genesis 12 through the rest of the Old Testament, through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, Galatians, Romans, and Hebrews. We're nothing without God in the world. But notice verse 13, but now, in Christ Jesus, we who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. That's all we have, is Jesus Christ. That's all we need, but that's all we have. Turn with me over here to the book of Colossians, two books over. And in chapter 1, and in verse 25, he said, "I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me," Paul, "for you," and we'll see that's Gentiles down in verse 27, "well, then, to fulfill," that means complete, if you fulfill something, you click, "to fulfill the word of God." There's not an apocrypha to be added. There's not a gospel of Barnabas to be added. He said, given us to fulfill the word of God, "even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this ministry among the Gentiles," which is what? "Christ in you, the hope of glory." nothing else. Now notice here that the hope of glory is a condition. Now if you turn over a couple of chapters to chapter 3, verse 4, it said, "When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him," where? In glory. Now it's a destination. That's where we look. Not in the air, but in glory. When Christ, when he stands up, we're going to appear with him in glory. And it won't be a worldwide catastrophe because all the Christians are gone, because they're not going to be enough of them to cause car wreck problems. See, if after 3.5 years, Jesus Christ himself can only fill an upper room, what do you think about the way we've been going with evil men and seducers waxing worse and worse and worse and worse? We're getting ready in America to vote for two godly men that represent godly religions. Godly, the God of the Bible religion. In fact, truth of the matter is, like I've done for all the election I guess I've ever won, I've had to vote for the lesser evil, as it were. I don't think I've ever voted since I put up my Goldwater sign that I've ever voted in the general election for the person I voted for in the primary. They'd always get beaten, and I'd have to vote for somebody just the lesser of two evils. Don't get to do it again this time. But what I'm saying, we've gotten away from, you no longer call. Now, if there's one thing Obama's right about, America's not a Christian nation anymore. We still got some Christians, thank God. But hey, we're we'll be the last to know, because we live, and we'll probably be lighter. We probably won't know it in Odessa like y'all will, because we live in redneck West Texas. I'm going to tell you. I can still get by talking about Jesus in state-funded programs. How long is that going to last? I don't have a clue. But I can tell you now that if we were home in the morning, I would be at a place called Clover House that's state-supported, doing a class that we talk about Jesus. I will go from there to the parole office, which is state-supported, in a class that we call From Garbage to Gems. We have two, Luke's has two of those classes out there. One of our other board members teaches one at night. And the Gems part stands for G for God, E for Eternity, M for a Mediator, and S for Savior. You can't get in more down and dirty than that, Christ-wise. And you know what? This marks the 18th year we've got to do it. Tuesday morning I'll be at the jail. Of course, we can still do things in all the jails. But Tuesday afternoon I'll be in a drug rehab place that's sponsored by state funds. And we'll talk about Jesus. Wednesday morning I'll be in another one of those places for women, sponsored by the state. And we can talk about Jesus. And Wednesday afternoon at 1 o'clock, I'll be there and we talk about Jesus. All of those things I just mentioned, they can take out of our ministry by Friday. They cut us off. Two or three things they can't. Our Bible class on Monday night, they can't cut off. the rec room they can't shut down. But all those other things they can. We were still able to talk about these things. And we're also still able to get support. But I know this, when the worse it gets, nobody's going to ever risk their job to make sure we get to talk about Jesus. They'll drop us like a hot potato, and I know that. And so I'm just thank God for every time we get to go, every time we get to tell the story. We sung the song, "Tell the Old, Old Story." I want you to notice the last orders that he gives us. 2 Timothy, last book that Paul ever wrote. And in fact, what's kind of interesting from our point of view is that Paul wrote Ephesians, Philippians, Philemon, and Colossians from prison. Paul got out of prison and did something wrong, because he says in 2 Timothy that he's in prison for being an evildoer. He broke the law. Now, the first time he didn't. They just didn't know what to do with him, and they were holding him for his protection, and he appealed unto Caesar. But he gets out, he writes 1 Timothy and Titus, and they throw him back in prison. And this is the last book he ever writes. This is the last chapter that Paul ever writes. And those of you that remember, Dr. McLean used to constantly teach us, last orders supersede all orders. So here's what he said in 2 Timothy. I get to it. Verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and at his kingdom. Here's his advice to Timothy. Preach the word. It's also our marching orders. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Let me tell you, three things that haven't changed. And I think sometime by reading some of like faith as we are, they almost act like they have. First thing that hadn't changed is sin. See, in some areas, sin has become sophisticated. It's become acceptable. Now not illegal sin, an immoral sin. I'm talking about... Well, then I don't know how you'd say this, but they're nicer sins. See, we're all against the illegal sins. And we're all against the immoral sins. But many of those sins weren't. Many sins man can hide. See, I can hide my envy and my jealousy and my hate. And many of those things, we cover them up. God sees that. Sin has never become pretty to God. Sin has never become sophisticated to God. In fact, what would you rebuke and reprove if it wasn't sin? When he gives us the marching orders to Timothy, he said, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Here's what we're to do. Point it out. If people don't know what it is, that's why with our children, many times we pointed out what was wrong. And what was right. We had to tell them that. Now, that's just not something that you automatically understand. The next thing is that flesh hasn't become any better. Jesus taught that that which is flesh is flesh. That's why we need to have a new nature. He also taught if you're going to worship God, you worship God in spirit and in truth. Which means this, nothing physically you and I can do that constitutes worship. I don't care how much you dance, how high you raise your hands, or how loud you holler. That doesn't constitute worship, because that's not spirit and truth. That's flesh. Flesh is still flesh. You can't make it better. It always will be. And then notice this, verse 5. Watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Of the gifts that God gave in Ephesians, prophet, teachers, apostles, he added one, evangelist. And the last thing he tells Timothy is an evangelist is to get people saved. And I guess I heard for years how that we need to teach them. Well, I'm going to tell you what, if you don't get them saved, you can't teach them anything. Because a natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them. You'd be as deep as the Atlantic, and you can't get that message through until people get saved. And Paul was one that was very big on winning them first, and he didn't like to plow in another man's field. He said, let me win them. Let me get where nobody's been. But, hey, we're not trying to get somebody else. He said, do the work of an evangelist. If there's no hell, why do we evangelize? If there's no problems, why do we evangelize? We have a lot of people that don't believe in hell. Well, if not, why evangelize? Say, hey, you may not get to sing and dance, but you're just going to be roadkill. You won't know the difference. No, I don't think so. Sin hadn't changed. Flesh hadn't changed. Hell hadn't changed. We need, as time draws near, I thought for years I'd never see what I've been seeing. I thought my grandkids would see it. Then I thought my kids would see it. Now I'm pretty convinced I'm going to see it. I've already seen a lot more than I thought I would. And nowhere in here. You know, the Bible said there's no discharge in this war. Ephesians said put on the whole armor of God. And I think many of us think that the reason we're putting the armor on is to have a dress parade. No, it's for warfare. And there's one amazing thing about that armor. It has nothing on the back. And it has only one offensive weapon. It said, take the sword of the Spirit. And he doesn't leave any doubt about that, which is the Word of God. That's all we've got. But that's all we need. And I think if there ever was a time that we, as God's people, need to stand up and be more visible, it's now. I can't challenge you enough, and I know this, that if only this group right here gets it, it'll change a lot of things. Paul changed a lot of things, just his conversion. It's amazing what God can do with one woman, one man, one old person, one kid. It's amazing. And I think we need to say, Lord, what would you have me do? And some of these things he's already told us. It's not something we need to spend a lot of prayer about. Preach the word. Say, we're not talking about a pulpit. We're talking about getting the word out. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of the evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. And this was Paul's last letter. In fact, he says, if you went on to read, he said, no man stood with me, but God stood with me. Our Father, help us to mean business with you. Father, help us to that we not just go through the motions, that we would do things not because it's acceptable in our group, but it's what you'd have us do. Help us to think like you'd have us to think. Help us to serve like you'd have us to serve. Help us to look to you. Nothing else. You said all we have is your Son, but you said that's all we need is your Son. Thank you that we don't have covenants and rituals and regulations, but help us also to realize that in a relationship, we do things not because we're required to do them, but because it improves the relationship. In our relationship with you, help us to honor you, to love you, and to do what you'd have us to do. In Christ's name, amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.